Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I'm so glad God will remain. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have gone through, no matter what you experience, God will always be with you even until the end of the world. And I'm so glad we serve a God who will remain no matter what. He will never give up on you. It's not about how bad you are, but it's about how good God is that we can know that God will never, never give up on us. And that ought to make us shout, amen? That's the reason why we're here, to worship him and to praise his holy name, because he's been so good to us in spite of us. You know, it's not because of anything we've done. It's not because of anything we've earned, but it's because of his grace and his mercy that we are not consumed today. Amen? Well, I'm excited and delighted and glad to be here in the presence of God. I want to thank our amazing musicians for, again, put your hands together for our musicians. Amen. Amen. I got some folk who watch us and they hear about this band and they hear about the praise team and they become envious. And they said, I wish I could have some music like that. Well, I said, well, don't covet. Don't be mad. Be glad. Amen. And worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness, in the beauty of holiness. Well, again, praise team, thank you for blessing us today. I want to go ahead and begin, but I see Pastor Eddie Guerrier is here today. Amen. He and his lovely wife, they're here all the way from Gainesville. Amen. They just came out of a mighty crusade where many souls were baptized. If I had known he was here, I would have thrown him up here and asked him to preach the word, but he snuck in on me unaware. And sometimes it's like that. As a pastor, you go in, you just want to be ministered to, and I understand that. But if I had known he was here, I would have laid the mantle on him so that I could be blessed by his ministry. But I'm glad that you are here today, and I praise God for being here in his presence this afternoon. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open the word of God. I want you to know that God is good. You already know that. And by now, because of the music and because of the fellowship and already because of the Spirit of God being in this place, you've already been encouraged. You've already been lifted. You already know that God is able. Amen. Our Sabbath school lesson had a text that said about the words, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And so the way we become sanctified is by hearing the word of God. I heard someone say, faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that come to God must do what everybody must believe that God is able. In other words, you must have already looked over God's resume. You must already look over God's reputation. And you must declare, based on what I see, God is able. Amen. And because I've seen him do so much for so many for so long, I now believe and am convinced that he can do something with nothing, meaning me. Amen. And I believe that today. And so we're in the process of being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're in the process of coming closer to our Savior, because one day he shall come. And when he comes back, he's coming back for a people who made a covenant with him by sacrifice. And so today, I want you to know that whatever sacrifices you have made, whatever you've gone through, it is not in vain, because God is with you and he'll never leave you. He will remain. That was an awesome song, and I might want to hear that one more time. I like that. Say around Tuesday, you're going to be listening to that song and you're going to say, I wish I had that song with me one more time, that God will remain. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. And again, we want to say to all of our fathers, happy Father's Day. And we delight and glad that you are here today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, once again, I come before you because I recognize that I'm undone and I cannot do this without you. Lord, I realize that I'm only the fork, I'm not the food, and I understand that I'm the mailman, not the mail. And so I pray that as you deliver your word to your people, they will hear your voice, because you said, my sheep, they hear me and they know when I'm talking. Has a certain sound, a certain ring. And so, Father, in these moments together we have, I pray that you'll anoint these words from your scripture, from your Bible, that'll be so plain and so crystal clear that a child cannot err. And Lord, we'll give you the glory because we know you are worthy. We thank you again in advance for just lifting our spirits to know that you'll remain, you're with us always, even until the end of the world. So Father God, bless us now as we pause just for a moment to hear from you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, and I'll read it briefly so that we can go ahead and get into the word of God. Beginning with verse 18, the word of God says, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul have them in, still in remembrance and is humbled in me." And then verse 21 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." I like that part right there. Verse 21 ought to make you shout. "This I recall," and the word of God says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. Beginning his ministry in the 13th year of Josiah, who brought about a mighty revival at the age of 8 years old when he became king. Josiah was a mighty man of God. He was young when he got the call and the mantle was placed on his life. And that's why the Bible says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come nigh, before they draw nigh. Josiah had a call on his life at an early age, and he brought about a mighty revival. And Jeremiah was a prophet who saw that. He saw what God had done and what God was doing and how God had brought the people back to the Lord. But as you read the Bible, you remember that in Judges and during the time of the kings, they had an up and down. There was up and down and in and out when it came to God. And, you know, I used to always say, how could they do that? But then after being a Christian for a while, now I understand and I am more sympathetic because I too experience ups and downs. Now, I'm not too holy to declare that all of us have issues, and all of us from time to time have ups and downs and in and out. You know how it is sometimes when you are on fire and you're excited about God and the world can't do you any harm, and you are so excited that you just walk in the Spirit, you walk in the Lord, and you feel the anointing of God on your life, and you're just so glad to be a Christian, and you're just so glad to wave your hands in the service and praise God for his goodness and his grace. And other times when you go through something, you're like, Lord, whoa, wait a minute, Lord, why me? And I always ask the question, why not you? Who should it be? Somebody on your pew? Somebody on your street? Why not you? In other words, trials come and situations happen and burdens come. And Jeremiah was that prophet. He was called at birth. In fact, before he was born, he had a calling on his life. And I want to declare to you that before you ever showed up, the Almighty Creator of the universe had something in mind before you ever showed up. Before you were ever born, before you ever came to this planet, God had already something in mind. He wired you a certain way. And it's only when you begin to walk in that anointing, it's only when you begin to walk the way God wants you to walk, that you will begin to experience the joy of knowing him. By the way, success is the byproduct of doing what you were created to do. And every one of us have been given a purpose and an anointing to do something. And Jeremiah had a calling to preach to the people of God. And he had to do it in spite of himself. He said, I can't even speak. But God said, if I called you, I will qualify you. And I'm so glad we serve a God that says, I'm not calling to qualify, but I'm going to qualify the call. And if you would just respond to the voice of God, if you would just open up your heart and your mind and begin to walk in the newness of life. Yes, trials will come. Yes, heartache will come. Problems will come. Tribulation will come. But by and by, through it all, God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's good news. In other words, sometimes you just got to jog your memory and not forget about what God has done for you. That's why the subject title today is Please Don't Forget. And sometimes we get amnesia and we get blessed by God. And then the next day we turn around and want to complain about some burden. Then we get blessed by God and we want to turn around and say, why me? I want you to understand that trials come. And this is one of my favorite statements. Trials come in the school of Christ. God gives them to purify us from the dross of earthliness. It's because God sees something in you that he allows you and permits you to go through trials. And when trials come, God has not forsaken you. In fact, the Bible says, let no man say that when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. No man is tempted by God when he's drawn away with his own lust. What God does, he takes us to class and he says, now I'm going to have to step aside for a moment because I can't tempt you. I'm God. I don't know what it means to cheat. I don't have any stacked cards. I don't put my fingers behind my back and cross them. I don't drop cards. Like, you know, I remember my brother-in-law, we used to play Uno. He would drop cards on the floor, and I would tell him, stop cheating. And then he would always say he's not cheating. But I want you to know, we serve a God who will not drop cards on the floor. We serve a God who will not cross his finger behind his back. We serve a God who's honest through and through, a God that is full of truth and righteousness. And he cannot tempt us. And when he tempts us, it's not because he's tempting us. It's because the devil is tempting us. And God says, I'm going to step aside and allow you to be tempted to reveal what's inside of you. That's why David said, try me, O Lord, and see what's inside of me. Now, sometimes I want to pray that prayer, but then sometimes I think, no, I don't think I want to pray that prayer because I don't want you to, Lord God, because sometimes trials reveal who you are. Spending time with God builds you. Trials reveal you. I'll say that again. In other words, spending time with God on your knees, that's what builds you up. Having that devotional life, that builds you up. But then once you begin to walk in light and once you go through ups and downs and trials, it gives a revelation of your character, and it's necessary to see your character in order so that you can fall at the feet of Jesus and plead the blood and say, Lord, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm unfinished, and I need you to cover me with your anointing. And Jeremiah, I want to say this. I'm not going to be long. I'm going to go ahead to the right to the, you know, there's a difference between a paraphrase and a translation. You already know that. I know I'm talking to Bible scholars out there. There's a difference. And recently I've been reading the Clear Word, which is a paraphrase. And a paraphrase is a Bible that just takes the same language and puts it in the same language, but with a different nuance and words. But a translation is what translation is, a moving from like the Greek to the English or the Hebrew to the English. It moves from translation. And so you have the King James Version of the Bible, which is a translation. And you got to be careful with paraphrases, yes, because paraphrases sometimes are backed by certain people's theology and politics. So when you read it, you got to ask yourself, does this sit up? Does this square with doctrinal standards? Does it come to what God says? And so when you read the Bible, your whole goal is to understand, thus saith the Lord, to get a clear word from the Lord, because that's so important, because God wants to speak to us. And in order to walk in light, in order to walk in truth, David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And we need the word of God. And as we said earlier, I remember you said it earlier, Kevin, some people say, well, this is my truth. You hear people say that? And he said what they're really saying is, this is my opinion, which is true. Everybody has an opinion, but the truth of God's word is what we need. Jesus said, he said, the truth will make you free. So I don't need an opinion. I need to know, what does God say? I need to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus said it this way, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, you and I as human beings, we don't have the luxury or the right to be able to live on opinions, because my opinion might be one way and your opinion might be another way. But it is only the word of God, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can get to the Father but by me. So it's not optional for me to decide on what truth I want to live by. My truth. Because if everybody went on their truth, then it would vary from person to person. But I'm so glad that God has given us his word. And if we would just study it long enough, we would hear, thus saith the Lord, and our word and our life would be changed by the power of God. Because we are in a great controversy, brothers and sisters. And the controversy is real. The devil is real. And he's playing for keeps. And I'm so glad that God always sends a warning before he sends destruction. Aren't you glad about it? I mean, you are living in an age now with internet and streaming where the gospel is being preached all around the world. And there are people who are watching this stream right now. And they have the luxury to go back and watch it. And they can also tune out. And in fact, don't you know, some people watch church all day long. They start on the East Coast. And then they go to Central Time. And then they go to Mountain Time. And then they go to Pacific. There's no reason why a person should be lost in this age in which we're living. The word of God is so available and the truth of God is so apparent, and there's no way in the world. That's why the Bible says this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but people have chosen darkness rather than light. There's different paraphrases and different translations, and then there's the new NIV, and then there's the Message, and then there's the Clear Word. And today, I just for a moment, and I'm watching my time. I'm not going to keep you long, I promise. I'm going to be finished around 1 o'clock, but I don't know if that's going to be a.m. or p.m. But no, I'm just joking. No. A paraphrase. Recently, I've been reading the Clear Word, and I was reading about Jeremiah is a man who went through some hell. I mean, I think about Jeremiah. If you go back and study it, Jeremiah was a prophet called by God to preach to the people of God in an age of apostasy and rebellion. I mean, you would think that if God calls you that it might be easy, but sometimes living this life is not easy because you're going upstream. You're going against everything that the God of the universe wants you to. In other words, you are literally going upstream against the current and the time in which we're living in, and to live a life as a Christian is a miracle. It takes the power of God, and Jeremiah is preaching to a people who don't want to do right, and not only do they don't want to do right, the king is not even right himself, and therefore God says, since you don't want to listen, I'm going to have to allow you to learn the hard way. And what I've discovered is that what you don't learn in obedience and humility, you learn in embarrassment and humiliation. And God is talking to you. And God is trying to get your attention. And God is trying to reach us. And God is trying to speak to us. And God kept telling Judah and telling Israel and Jerusalem, y'all better live right or the day is going to come when you're not going to be able to have the water. And it's not until you miss the water that the well runs dry. And you begin to miss it because you begin to think, I have something I want, but I lost what I had. And that relationship with God was so powerful and so nice. But now the Bible says he's going to turn his back on them. He's not going to give them up totally because there's good news. In spite of Jeremiah's word, in spite of Jeremiah's life, he goes through hell and high water. Have you been there? I mean, have you ever gone through life so hard that you want to throw in the towel? I mean, can I talk to you? I mean, have you ever been so down and out sometimes and become so discouraged? The more I try, the harder it gets. I keep on trying to, I mean, think about it. How long have you been trying to be a Christian? How long have you been trying to do the right thing? But I want to tell you, you're not by yourself. The Bible gives us word that there are others who also have gone through hell and high water. And so the word of God gives us hope. In fact, I want to read it to you here in Jeremiah in Lamentations. I'm going to leave it Lamentations. And I'm going to be in the book of chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3. I want you to see how bad Jeremiah had it real quick. He says, and I want to read to you. It says, I am a man that have seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. That's Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I've seen God's wrath. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've been through hell. I've been through up. I've been through down. And all I'm trying to do is the right thing. And anytime you try to do the right thing, the devil always is going to get busy. Always. Whenever you try to do the right thing, the enemy of your soul is going to try to magnify himself and make your problem so big that you forget about God. Here in Lamentations chapter 3, he says, I speak as a man representing Judah. This is what the Clear Word says. I have seen much affliction. Let me read it to you. I've known what it is to be disciplined by the Lord. He has driven me away and brought me into darkness rather than light. Jeremiah is going through something. Jeremiah is experiencing excruciating pain because he knows that he is a servant of God, but doing this causes him to go through some hell. Notice what he says in verse 3. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. In other words, he is attributing his problems to God, saying, I don't understand why I'm going through all of this. In order for me to go through this, God is doing it. But I want to tell you, sometimes God will allow it. God will permit it, but he will never, ever leave you by yourself. You see, the good news is this. Here in this book, Jeremiah is saying, I'm going through it, but I want to jump to 21, but I don't want to get there too fast, because in the King James Version, it says this, and I just read it. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. In other words, Jeremiah said, in spite of all that I was going through, it wasn't until I looked through the Rolodex of my experience that I got hope. And see, hope is something that gives you the ability to live beyond your circumstances. One thing about it, we have hope. You know, there's a statement, and I love to read it, and I love to say it. Lucifer sinned in the light of God's glory. For him, there was nothing else God could do. It was over. It was done. And that's why when people say, well, can the devil get a second chance? No. Why? He sinned in the light of God's glory. He knew right from wrong. He knew what God expected. He understood the law of God. He knew, thus saith the Lord. He had been in the presence of God. He stood in the Shekinah glory of God's presence. I don't know how many eons of years. I don't know how long he did it, but all I know is he knew God. He knew about God's character, but for whatever reason, I don't understand it, for whatever reason, he decided he was going to go against God. I don't understand. In fact, listen to how this version, this translation puts it in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Listen to how it reads. This is what it's called, again, a paraphrase. How could this degradation happen to the great king of Babylon? The same way it happened to Lucifer, the son of the morning, who was cast out of heaven and down to earth. And listen to this. The same attitude caused the mighty king of Babylon to fall, who once laid low the nations. The same attitude. Now, this is a paraphrase. In other words, the same attitude that Lucifer had is the same attitude that the king of Babylon had. And it seems like kingdoms with this attitude will always fall. An attitude of pride. Lucifer was full of pride and said to himself, I will set my throne in the heavens, and I will take charge of the stars of God, and I will sit next to God. That is some pompous talk. I'm going to sit next to God. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to take God's. That's some stuff. And notice what it said. I will dwell in the highest heavens, far above the clouds, and I will be like the Most God, the Most High, and I will be like the Almighty. That is some kind of presumption that you and I would think, or this person would think, he could be like God. He not only wanted God's power, but he wanted to take God's throne. And that's the difference. We want God's character, but he wanted God's power. We want to be like God. He wanted to only act like God. And the problem is his pride got in the way. And therefore, for him, there is no future. There is no hope. But I like the text says, but for man, there was what, everybody? Hope. There's hope for us. Why? There's hope for us because man did not have the knowledge he had. His mind was deceived. The sophistry of the devil. He had the wool pulled over his eyes. He had no knowledge of what it was to walk with God and talk with God. He had never seen God. He had never walked on streets of gold. He had never seen pearly gates. He had never seen cherubims and seraphims. He had never been in an atmosphere where there was no sin, but Lucifer had that. And now for us, there's hope. She says, for hope for us is that having a knowledge of God's love, and by beholding his character, we can be drawn back to God. In other words, all you need to know is a little bit about God. and the devil doesn't want you to know about God. All you got to do is get a little knowledge about the loving, merciful, kind, compassionate God who left glory and took off his divinity and put on his humanity and came down here and walked on this planet for 33 years. And all he ever did was try to bless somebody. He opened up blind eyes. He unstopped deaf ears. He made the lame to walk. He would call people back from death. In other words, all he ever wanted to do was bless somebody. And that's the reason why Lucifer was not destroyed. He said, I want to give him time to reveal his character compared to my character. And when Jesus shows us what God is like, it draws us back to God. And the devil doesn't want you to have a revelation of God's love. I'll say it over and over again. If the devil could tell the truth for 30 seconds, there'll be a worldwide revival. If he could just start talking about how good God is, if he could just start talking about the mercy of God and the power of God, and it's not about how bad you are, but it's about being drawn into the light of God's love. It's about understanding how much he loves you and how much he wants a relationship with you. That's why when I read this, I want to just read it. I'm almost finished, by the way. I'm not going to be long. It says here, chapter 3, in this paraphrased version, it says, he waited for me like a lion and pounced on me. Now he's blaming God or saying all this happened because of his circumstance. In other words, he started assuming because of his condition that was God doing it to him. And I want us to understand that we live in a jacked up world full of sin and misery. And the stuff that happens to us is not caused by God. He said, I am the life giver. Life is in me, unborrowed and underived. If I wanted to get you, I wouldn't play games with you. I could get you. You know God could get. All he would have to do is put his finger through the ozone layer, and all of a sudden, all the oxygen and the gravity, all he has to do is all of a sudden just turn his back just for a little while. And I'm so glad that if God wanted to get us, he could. But he's not a God that's after us. He's a God that's for us. Jeremiah is going. In fact, Jeremiah got to the point, one point where he said, I'm not even speaking anymore. I don't want to even preach. I'm through with this. He threw down the mic and walked out the church, and all of a sudden he got outside the church doors in the parking lot, and something started happening to his spirit. He said, I felt like fire in my bones. He said, all of a sudden, I wanted to quit. I wanted to stop. I wanted to throw in the towel. But something started moving on me. And I said, it's like fire in my bones. He said, I just can't stop. I've got to go back to my calling. And you know when it happened? Notice verse 16. He has broken my teeth and pushed my face in the dirt. This is what he said. This is Jeremiah. He said, I've forgotten what peace and happiness are and what it's like to laugh. Have you been there? I said, my strength is gone and there is no hope from the Lord. I mean, literally, have you been there where you felt like you were all alone by yourself, no help, no rescue, nobody coming to your aid? It seemed like you're living in despair and despondency and you just want to give up. Well, Jeremiah is a mirror of that thought. He said, the thought of my affliction and pain is a bitter pill and poison to my soul. And he says, when I think of what has happened, my heart sinks in despair. Just thinking about it, how they turned their back on me, just how they talk behind my back, how I go through stuff on my job, how I go through stuff in my home, how I go through stuff even in the church of the living God. And I wonder, God, is this all there is? But then he says in verse 21, this is what it says in the King James, and then I'm almost there. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. I start having a recollection. I start thinking about some things. I start thinking about how good you've been. I start thinking about how you put food on the table. I start thinking about how you keep movement in my limbs. I start thinking about how you wake me up in the morning and keep me from dying in my sleep. I start thinking about how my heart beats all night long. I start thinking about it. And he says, and what happened, it started me thinking, and I said, oh, wait a minute, I can't forget. Verse 21 in the paraphrase said it this way. But there is one thing I recall that brings back a glimmer of hope. In other words, I don't want you to give up yet. I don't want you to throw in the towel yet. Somebody might have come here today ready to give up on their marriage, give up on their job, give up on their children. But I want to remind you that all you need to do is start thinking about how good God has been to you. Please don't forget. If you could just go back in the moment, go back in the past and start thinking. When you should have been out, but he lifted you. When you should have been down, he brought you back. When you should have been dead, but he healed you. When he, not just thinking about God's goodness now. He says, but there is one thing I recall that brings back a glimmer of hope. The Lord, and this is what he says, verse 22. Now you can read it. If it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's not your vitamins. It's not the almond milk. It's not the soy milk. It's not your 3-mile walk. It's not that regiment that, no, it's not the exercise. It's not the lifting of the weights. It's not the pushing of, it's the Lord's mercy. This Jeremiah says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. In other words, it's not because God is, no. I'm kept because of God's grace. The enemy want to snuff your soul out right now. If the devil had it his way, he would cause this building to collapse on every one of us. But I'm so glad that angels that excel in strength and might are standing outside right now telling the devil, I dare you. I dare you, not now and not yet. I'm so glad God extended our lives and gave us one more day to celebrate. I don't know about tomorrow, but I ought to bless him right now. I don't know about tonight, but I ought to praise him right now. I don't know about next week. I ought to praise him right now. It's because of his mercies that we are not consumed. Jeremiah said, yes, I went through all of that, but when I start looking to God, looking to the Lord, looking to the hills from which cometh my help, I recognize that it's going to be all right. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if I could say anything to you right now, stop dwelling on where you are and just start thinking about the mercy of God, the grace of God. This is what the paraphrase says. Can I read it? The paraphrase said it this way. But there is one thing I recall that brings back a glimmer of hope. The Lord's continuous love and his boundless compassion. That's why he didn't totally destroy me. Not because I had it all together, not because I have reached a standard of righteousness, not because I have perfected the character of God, but because of his mercy and his own grace, because of his own love and his own compassion. He says he thought about me, and this great faithfulness is not only that, but it's new every morning. Every time I wake up, I smell some new mercy. Every time I get up, I smell some new mercy. In other words, when I get up, the mercy is new. God refreshes as the dew and as sure as the sunrise. In other words, he says, every morning I wake up, I ought to begin smelling some mercy. Thank you, Jesus. I could have died in my sleep, but thank you, Jesus. I could have overslept, but thank you, Jesus. I'll never forget one time when I was visiting a member when I was back in Ohio, and I had gone to this senior citizen high rise, and I went in there and got into this elevator. And then an elderly lady, she came jumping in there. She was all perked up, and she was all excited, and she came in. I said, how you doing? She said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing great. She said, I'm doing awesome. I'm doing wonderful, Pastor. Preacher, I'm doing great. I don't know how she knew I was a preacher. Her mother had a suit on. She said, I'm doing great, preacher. I said, that's wonderful. She said, you know what? You know why I'm happy? She said, I woke up this morning, and my name wasn't on the list. And I started thinking about what list she was talking about. See, the older you get, you start knowing about the list. See, when you're young. She said, I woke up this morning, and I looked in the obituary, and I didn't see my name on the list. I want to stop by here and tell somebody, when you woke up this morning, your name wasn't on the list. It could have been pulled. Your number could have been called, but I'm so glad that God allowed us one more. Think about it. You are here right now because everything went right. A whole lot of things could have gone wrong, but the mere fact that your heart is beating, and your lung is beating, and your liver is working, and your kidneys are working, and every organ in your body has this organ, it's called synchrony, and it's all working together in harmony. That's because of the mercy of God. All it takes is just a chemical imbalance. All it takes is just a little twerk here and a little tweak there, and you in the hospital. And the blessing is, when you're able to walk in a hospital and walk out, that's God's grace. You're able to walk into a funeral home and walk out, that's God's grace, and that's God's mercy. And all Jeremiah is saying, yes, I went through hell and back, but when I start thinking about the goodness and mercy of God, I started getting a little strength. And sometimes all you need. And the reason why you need it, because everything wears out, everything runs down, everything rusts out because of what is called thermodynamics, the law of thermodynamics, because of oxidative stress. Every now and then our faith begin to wane, and I get tired. And I want to get up and I want to quit. But if you can just start thinking long enough about how good God has been to you. I mean, take your mind off the people in the church. Take your mind off of your situation. Take your mind off your circumstances long enough. And if you can just meditate and dwell on the fact, why am I still here when others are dying? I mean, think about it. I'm thinking about South Florida. They're having flood. I mean, the houses, the cars are flooded. And think about it. You woke up this morning and you didn't have a flood around your house. You woke up this morning, you were able to walk out your house and get in your car. That's the mercy of God that's keeping us alive, and the grace of God that keeps us alive. You know, I keep telling my wife, every time I drive here, you all know about this incident that took place back in April, right out there in front of our church at the stoplight, at the light. And it's amazing, because what happened, this young lady, she was jacked, and if you understand the story, she came up and actually she brought some drugs, and they paid her $170,000. And so she rolling in her vehicle with $170,000. And the people that she sold the drugs to decided they wanted the money back. And that's the kind of world we live in. It is evil. It is corrupt. We're living in a time where people have just lost value of life. And you think about it, what happened was just hideous. And the Bible says, as it was in the day of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in our time. And it's because of God's mercy that we are still here. It could happen to anybody. I mean, when I say anybody, life is not promised to us. And when you wake up in the morning, that is the grace of God giving you one more time to exist. One more day to breathe. And that young lady caught in the crossfire. I don't know how much involvement, and I don't want to talk about it too much, but it's amazing, because every time I think about it, it's how she was jacked and how she was burned and how she was shot, and the only way they could recognize her was through the DNA of her blood in the vehicle. Life is short, and I want us to recognize it because of the mercy of God that we're still here. Notice what it says here. My second thing is that not only is God's grace, The Lord, and this is what he says. Jeremiah says this: the Lord is all I have. I don't have no options. I mean, there's no plan B, y'all. I mean, can you think about it? I mean, you can go into one store, and if they don't have it, you can go to another store, and they don't have it, and you can go to another store. You might not like this dentist. You can go get another dentist, or you can get another doctor, but there ain't no other Jesus. If he doesn't work, I'm in trouble. I mean, I don't have a plan B. If God can't help me, who can? I mean, think about it. If God can't pull me out of this situation, who can? I mean, think about it. The Bible says the living know they shall die, but the dead know nothing. So when you die, it's over. It's done. You don't go to purgatory. There is no upper room. You ain't in the choir. You are dead as a doorknob. And I used to always wonder how dead is a doorknob, but now I figured out it's dead as a doorknob. You're dead. You are gone. It's over. And sometimes it's difficult to think about it being over when you have life. It's difficult to think about not being over, because you are being. In other words, I can't grasp that concept, because you are alive. But the Bible puts it this way. You know one day you're going to die. You know one day they're going to have your funeral. You know one day somebody's going to eat at your repast. And life going to move on. That's going to happen. Sure as we're here right now, it's going to happen. The living know they're going to die, but the dead don't know anything. And guess what? If there is not a program or somebody that can resurrect you or get you out of that circumstance, you are gone forever. And that's something that I just think about. That's an eternal reality. That if I die and don't have Christ in my life, I ask the question, who can get me up? I mean, who can wake me up out of that sleep? I mean, it's one thing to be waking out of a sleep and the alarm clock doesn't go off and somebody will nudge you or you hear something. But who can wake you out of the sleep of death? The only one that can is the Lord. That's why Jeremiah says, the Lord is all I have. So I have put my hope in him. That's what I want to suggest for us today. The Lord is all we have. Keep putting your hope in him. He'll never let you down. He may not come when you want him, but he's always going to show up right on time. I mean, all you got to do is be reminded that all I have is the Lord. My mother may forsake me. My father may give me up, but the Lord has graven me on the palms of his hand. He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. He'll never let me down. In other words, the Lord is all I have, so I put my hope in him. And then he goes on to say, the Lord is good to those who put their hope in him, to those who seek him. It is good to quietly wait on the Lord and trust him for help. Wait on the Lord. The second thing Jeremiah said, what he did, he said, first of all, I start thinking about God's mercy. But then verse 28, he says, when we suffer, I start thinking about I'm suffering sometimes because of my own doing, my own decisions, some of the choices I made. You know, and when I say that sometimes, I don't mean to insult you, but think about how some of the choices we've made has brought pain and heartache. Jeremiah says, when we suffer because of our sins, let us quietly bear the pain. But hold on to the Lord. You know, I did it. I made the mistake. Don't be like somebody else. I say his number is 45. Don't be like you do something, but don't want to take responsibility. Don't want to take the blame. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I did it. I said it. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let us bow in submission before him. For he is our hope. Let us learn to offer the other cheek to those who strike us, to those who want to disgrace us. In other words, learn how to live in humility. So you know what draws God's attention? Contrition. You know what God? Brokenness. When you actually recognize, Lord, I need you and I accept you, and it's because of me, God, that I'm here, God can do something for us. See, the good news is this. This is it right here. This is a paraphrase. The third thing Jeremiah said what brought me back, what helped me when I wanted to throw in the towel. I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. I said, I'm through. I'm through. Too many hypocrites in the church. You know, I hear people say that. Too many hypocrites. But see, the same, some it's hypocrites in the grocery store. You didn't leave out of there. it was hypocrites in the football game, and you know, you stayed in there and watched every bit of the game, hoping it went overtime. But yet and still, we let the devil talk us out of our game. We start talking about the problems and the situations. But if you could just start remembering, how good has God been to you? I mean, I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about you. Put your hand over your chest. You feel your heart beating. That's goodness. That's mercy. That's grace. I see, think about it. As you look out, you see all the different pigment of colors. Man, God could have made it black and white. But we see it technicolor, high definition. I mean, think about the audible sounds you hear when you hear the birds singing in the morning and your daddy wrote the lyrics to it. Think about the stars at night and you look up and you see the cracks that's in the floor of heaven's glory coming through. I mean, that's God's grace, God's mercy. And all Jeremiah says, the way I was able to come back, it wasn't because my circumstances changed. It was because I started thinking about God's goodness. And the more I thought about it, the more gratitude sprung up in my heart. The last thing, Paul, this is what he says here. This is what he says. And you know, in 31, it says this in the King James. And I'm almost finished. It says, for the Lord, look what the King James says. For the Lord will not cast off forever. In other words, he won't do it. He just can't help himself. No matter what your situation is, he's not going to write you off. What God's going to do, he's going to allow a circumstance maybe or something happens in your life to cause you to want to turn back to him. He can't impose himself on you and take control over your will without your permission. But circumstances and providence will happen in such a way that God says, no, I'm not going to let it happen forever. I love you too much. Eternity is too long. And I'll do everything I have to do to save you. And I'll never give you up because I paid my blood for you. That's the good news right now. Jesus said, I spilled my blood for you. And nobody goes to the store and pay for something and walk out without their receipt. You take the receipt and the property because you bought it. It belongs to you. Jesus said, I paid for you on Calvary. And I'm not going to walk away from you without a fight. This is what it says. The Lord is full of compassion and does not cast us off forever. Sometimes it's just a lesson to learn. Chalk it up as a lesson to learn. Chalk it up as I need to understand it. Now, this is what blew me mind. I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to sit down, I promise. Verse 32 is what got me. This is what it says in the translation of the King James. But though he has caused grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Even though God caused grief, he's going to have compassion even in his mercies. Now you know how this read. Watch it. This is how this read. Verse 32, clear word. He permits. Now, if you don't get anything, get this. He permits a lesser evil in order to prevent the greater evil that will follow. That blew my mind right there. You think that was bad? No. That was the lesser evil. God said, I could have made it worse, but I'm going to let this happen so that this doesn't have to happen. So your trials might seem like they're hard, but see, what's harder is not being with me through eternity. See, this life is short. Paul says it's a light affliction, and it cannot be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. He says, what I'm going through is preparing me what I'm going to. So if I look at what I'm going through, I got to understand. And now Paul says, he says this, it's a light affliction and it's only for a moment. Man, it seemed like a lifetime. We live about 70, 80 years, if we're blessed, 90 years. But it's a drop in the bucket. In other words, he said the lesser evil that I could do is allow you to experience trials so that by the time when I come back, and those clouds going to roll back one day. Yes, they are. Nobody's going to stop it. Nobody can vote it. Nobody can just veto it. When Christ comes back, when he says, he that is just, let him be just still. He that's righteous, let him be righteous still. One day, King of kings and Lord of lords, he's going to get on his white horse and he said, I'm going back to get my children. Why? Because they've been sealed in their foreheads. He told the winds of strife, hold them back until every person that says sealed in their forehead. And when he comes back, he's looking for a people that made a covenant with him by sacrifice. And that's why he says, your affliction is only for a moment. Hold on. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. It's a lesser evil. And notice what he says. He brings sorrow, but his love and mercy are abundant. Yes, trials happen. Yes, situations happen. But his mercy and his love is abundant. God says, I can give you more mercy and more love than your trials. He does not willingly bring grief to the children of men. I mean, as a parent, I really don't want to spank. My boys are growing up, family growing up, I didn't want to spank them. I did not willingly want to do it. You brought it on yourself. I'm going to give you the lesser evil to prevent the greater evil from happening. Amen. Because I don't want to see you in jail. I don't want to see you dead. I don't want to go to a premature funeral. I don't want you to abort and sabotage your existence. So what I'm doing now is a lesser evil. Yes, children, you don't want the spanking. You don't want the punishment. You don't want the time out. But God says, I'm doing it now because I want to be with you throughout eternity. He said, make me a sanctuary, because it's always been God's desire to dwell with his people. I want fellowship. I want oneness with you. And God will do whatever he has to do to have you to himself. So yes, I'm going to let the lesser evil happen right now. It's only going to be for a while. If you can trust me when you can't trace me, if you can hold on to me in spite of looking at your circumstance, even though you might lose a job or you might go through a trial, if you can just hold on to me, if you can just walk by faith and not by sight, I promise you what I'm going to give you is going to blow your mind. I'm going to allow you to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to allow you to get the leaves for the healing of the nations. I'm going to allow you to eat fruit that changes every month. I'm going to allow you to walk and never get tired. You'll never get sick. You'll never get weary. There'll be no more funerals, no more heartache, no more. I'm so glad there'll be no more. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for that day when he that shall come will come. And I want to be able to look up and say, lo, this is our God. We've been waiting on him. And I want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You held on in this lifetime. You kept faith. You loved me with your heart. And you made a covenant. I got something for you. Enter now. Can you see it? Can you see it? Enter now into the joy. And you're going to see heaven was cheap enough. all my trials. I believe somebody going to get to heaven. They're going to say, Lord, you've given us all of this. I can go back down there and live through hell 4 more years. Now you ain't going to want to do it, but I'm just saying, you're going to say it was worth it. My brothers and sisters, if that's your desire today, to say, Lord, come what may, hell or high water, I want to be ready when you come. I want to be saved in your kingdom. I want you to stand with me. I want to pray over you. I just want to pray over you, remind you, just look back. When trials come and circumstances come, think about God's mercy. When trials come, think about the fact that sometimes I made bad decisions. Take it. And then remember this. God allows the lesser evil so that he can prevent the greater evil. It could be a whole lot worse. He could have walked away from humanity. He could have never loved again. He could have said, y'all make it on your own since you didn't want me. But no, he sent his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him might have life. In other words, Jesus said, I'm coming that you might have life, not to hurt you. I'm coming that you might live. Somebody today, while you're standing today, I just want to make this appeal because I don't know if everybody's in a household of faith. There may be somebody here today who has not yet given their life to Christ. You're only going to stand for about 60 seconds. And while you're standing, I'm praying. There's a decision card for those who are online. You want to say yes to God. Today, you want to say, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I need to walk in the newness of life. If that's somebody here today, why don't you just come on down right now. Meet me. Give me your hand and give God your heart, whoever you are. Only 45 seconds. I'm not making a long appeal. I've given too much evidence of you not to trust him. I've given too much evidence for you not to believe in him. All you got to do is say yes to God. 30 seconds. I'm praying. You want to say yes to God. You want to let him live in you. You want to be able to walk with him. 20 seconds. Whoever you are, don't let time run out. The Bible says, don't let this harvest pass and my soul be lost. You want to trust God. That's all it is. That's all this journey is about. Trusting God. Day by day. Moment by moment. Trusting him with your heart. 10 seconds. You want to say yes to God. You want to say yes to him today. If you feel a little nervous, you felt like, Lord, I don't want to do it in front of you, just talk to us, one of the elders, myself, as you leave today. By all means, make sure your calling and election is sure. I'm covering you now in prayer together. Father God, we thank you for your amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like us. Yes, we once was lost, but now we're found. God, we thank you for speaking to us. Father, Jeremiah, one of your major prophets in the Bible, is letting us know that he even almost quit, but he didn't. One day he's going to see you in peace. Jeremiah lived for you until the day they stoned him. They threw him in a muck and mire. They threw him in a clay. They threw him down into a pit. Lord, he went through a lot. Time would not allow us to just enumerate on all the stuff he went through. But he tells us, but when I begin to recall and think about God's mercy, when I thought about God's grace, it revived me. Lord, may each of us be revived today to know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, may we be revived today to know that you're with us, and greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Father, I pray for your children now who are standing. I pray that the grace of God would inundate their hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit will flood their spirit with grace and mercy. I pray today, Lord, that our minds are so made up that we'll never turn back, never let go, never let go, and never let up. Lord, I pray that we will keep our eyes stayed on you, that you might keep us in perfect peace. I pray for covering for all of our members, all of our visitors today, those who are watching online, the decision card. Lord, may they fill it out, and may they make their minds up to be ready, because he that shall come will come. One day, Jesus is coming back to this world to get his children. And Father, I pray that all of us will be ready when you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.